Well, Mark chapter 12 in your Bibles tonight. Mark chapter 12. We'll begin reading in verse 41 and then through the end of the chapter. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Well, what a sweet story. I'm glad that the Lord put that in there. He's sitting there watching the people come in and cast the money in the treasury. And he makes this statement about this widow lady. And just a sweet story. And I have some thoughts about giving this evening. First of all, God's people are expected to be givers. It kind of goes without saying. A church in some capacity is a business in that you have a place to meet, you have to pay the bills, the heating bill, the electric bill, and all the other things. We have to do that. And one of the things that God has allowed us to do as a church, we have impeccable business sense in this community about paying our bills on time. We are never late. There's never a reason why we should be late. We have the money in the bank. It's a member. It's just a thing of writing a check and paying the bills. But ladies and gentlemen, God is our example on giving. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave. And the fact that his son gave his life on the cross for us, that we might be redeemed, and if we are conformed to the image of his son, we will be givers. Somebody said this, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. That's just a part of it. That's as natural for the child of God to give, because God has given to us, and as we're conformed to the image of his son, that is brought to our mind often. Now I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And look at verse 7 and 8. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7 and 8 says this. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. What's he talking about there? Well, of course, he's talking about giving. He's talking about money. But he's also talking about this, ladies and gentlemen. Faith without works is dead. That's why he said, the way that you prove the sincerity of your love is to give. That's how you do that, folks. Now, Mark chapter 14, if you would. Mark chapter 14. And let's begin reading in verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and she poured it on his head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. And I think he was about that tone. Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world to this very moment, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her. My point is this. When you give, there's times when you ought to expect to be misunderstood. You have to take the criticism. Nothing given to God is ever wasted. But sometimes when you give, you're going to have to face criticism from people saying, oh, listen, you need it more than the church needs it. You listen to the word of God. And then other times, expect to be understood when you give. Let me tell you what happened to me one time. We were getting ready to do an expansion program at the church in Oregon, and we were talking about how we were going to do it and different things, how we could pay for it and all of that. And this one individual, he wanted to do something completely different than what other people wanted to. And sometimes it kind of goes without saying, those kind of people are generally very good givers to the church. He came up to me and made this statement. I'll tell you what, Brother Gray, for my money, I think we ought to do it this way. And I told him, I said, listen, first of all, it's not your money. That's the Lord's money. And you don't have to have your way, and I don't have to have my way. We're going to come to a consensus, and we are going to do it. But don't use your money as an impetus to get your way in the church. It's not going to work, okay? All righty. Second of all, some kinds of giving are of higher worth than others. Please understand, Christ didn't condemn those who gave out of their abundance. They have their reward. Here's their reward. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And the first four verses here. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. And that's what the Pharisees were doing when they came in. They made a big deal, a big show about their money. And you would have to understand how the money was given. There's a big kind of funnel thing. And you would come up, you'd drop your money in. Different coins made different sounds when they intersected the metal funnel. And they would come in and they would flip their coins and it would make a big deal. It's kind of like that thing they used to have at McDonald's. You'd put your quarter in and it would go. That's how they would do it. They wanted everybody to see how much they give. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Christ simply taught that sacrifice is the highest ideal in giving. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but this building was built by sacrificial giving. When we had what we called Victory Sunday years ago, we raised an offering that Sunday to get started. A smaller church than, well, probably about the same size of church we have right now. But we took in that Victory Sunday just a little over $100,000 in a church our size. $103,000 to be exact. $103,000, we took that in. But the people that gave that Sunday, they also committed above the regular tithes and offerings for the next 3 years to give an offering, whatever they wanted to give between them and the Lord. And for the next 3 years, we had wonderful offerings at this church that enabled us to get a loan so that we could build the building. So, but it was sacrificial. I had one individual say, "Brother Gray, I'll be so glad when this is over so that we can go out and eat again." Every Sunday they would go out and eat, and during this time of sacrificial giving, they didn't go out and eat on Sunday. They were just being just gut honest with me. "I'll be so glad when this 3 years is over so we can go to Applebee's again." And isn't this how it is? When you're not eating out like that and all the commercials come on, man, it all looks so good. And that's what happened to this family for 3 years. But I'll tell you what, that family has been blessed incredibly. Now I want you to go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24. We're going to begin reading in verse 18, but before we get there, let me just give you some context. David stopped trusting in God, and he started trusting in numbers. He sent his nephew Joab out to number the men in Israel to see how many warriors they had. Joab understood what was going on, and he tried to talk his uncle out of doing that. He said, "Listen, whatever we have, that's all we have. It's not going to increase the numbers one soldier if you go out and number them." And David, being a king, said, "Do as I say." God knew David's heart at that time. This came right after the episode of Ishbibenob. I'll not go into that. But if you know the story, this happened after that. David numbers the men in Israel. Because of that, because David stopped trusting in God and started trusting in numbers, what did God do? He killed 70,000 soldiers in Israel. And of course, David's heartbroken. And let's pick up the story in verse 18. Hang on, let me find it. There. And Gad, who was the prophet, came that day to David and said unto him, "Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded, and Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And I'll tell you what, that smote David's heart as much as anything from this perspective. Araunah had no idea that those 70,000 men that, and probably some of them his friends, that were killed by God, it was David's fault. Okay? He did not know that. He comes and he loves David. David's his king. David is his warrior that has been over him. And Araunah said, verse 21, "Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant?" And old David's heart is just smitten. And David said, "To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people." And Araunah, being a good man, said unto David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for the burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood." All these things did Araunah as a king give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, "The Lord thy God accept thee." And the king said unto Araunah, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. The point is this. David said, "I will not offer unto the Lord that which costs me nothing." Okay. It's not how much is given, but from how much it is given. All righty. Third, the Lord quietly watches our giving. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verses 11 and 12. "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." God knows, and God watches. And then last of all, the Lord rewards our giving. First of all, personal needs are met. Proverbs chapter 3. You know the proverb, Proverb chapter 3, and look at verses 9 and 10. "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." The first fruits of all thine increase. "So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." You give to God, and he will take care of you. And you put him first. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 8 now. Back to 2 Corinthians. The theme of 2 Corinthians 8, of course, is giving. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and look at verse 14. but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. You hear me say it all the time, ladies and gentlemen, and this verse simply speaks to this. We need each other, and that's what he is saying here. If I have an abundance, I'm going to give to you. If you're kind of down, that's fine. I'm going to give to you. If I'm down and you have an abundance, then you give to me. We need each other, and we need to be very sensitive to God's leadership in our life. What about the needs of my kids? Will they be met? According to Psalms 37, please. Psalm chapter 37. My daughter and I had a long conversation today about this very thing and how good the Lord has been to her through the years. Psalm 37, verse 25 and verse 26. David said this, "I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed." You have a mom and dad that raises their kids to give. God gets involved in supplying the need of your kids. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 this time. Look at verse 12 and 13. "For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men." What's he talking about there? Glory is given to God and to the gospel that we proclaim when we give. And then last of all, it's a witness to the lost about the lordship of Christ. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Verse 32 and verse 33. "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them," excuse me, "that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." What you have is not just yours. You are responsible for others as well. One of the reasons why you want to get wealth is so that you can give it to others. Verse 33. "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." It's a witness to the lost of the lordship of Christ in your life. Let's pray. Father, there's not a one of us here this evening but what we can truly say, you have been so good to us financially, how you have given over and above to us. And there's times when we simply say, "Oh Lord, I don't understand it, but I have more than enough, and I want to get involved in the church and in the ministry and some other good parachurch organizations that have need. I'm thinking of the Crisis Pregnancy Center that we can get involved in through the church. Father, how very wonderful all of it is to be used of you and to be blessed of you and to have a good and clear conscience that we're doing what we should do. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.